Beyond, and hello and welcome to IGN's number one PlayStation show that we make here at IGN. It's the only show we make, but I still think we're doing great, so I say we're number one. I'm Max Scoville, and I'm joined today by Josh Du.
Hi, we are doing pretty well, aren't we?
We're off to a great start so far. I hope this is recording. Sometimes it doesn't, and we have to do it all over again. I screw the whole thing up. Also joining us from far away in the UK, but actually in here right now, Simon Cardi.
I'm here in the flesh. I won't be delayed on any calls. All the jokes are just going to land.
They're going to land. They're going to click.
This time, yeah.
Dry comedy is going to just come in like a desert breeze. It's going to be wonderful. Yeah. And joining us from far away in Los Angeles is Akeem Lewanson.
Yes, still haven't got me in the flesh in the studio. You got Simon before you got me, and he lives overseas. That's weird.
There was a sale on the planes. We had a real deal on the tickets to get on there, and he did it.
I actually swam.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
No way.
I'm really good at that.
And your arms and legs are tired probably from kicking. And anyway, we're going to get into the PlayStation stuff. We're going to talk about it. We'd love to talk about a game that is coming out soon, but we can't talk about that game. And that game involves chainsaws and parasites and things like that. Dying to talk about Resident Evil 4. I want to play it. I haven't played it yet. That comes out next week. We'll get to that, I promise. But in the meantime, there is some stuff to talk about. There's that new game, Chia, that came out on PlayStation Plus, which I got a chance to mess around with. I really like it. I don't think I entirely love it, but there's some really cool stuff in there. We have a letter from the Predator because Simon's
funny you mentioned that, because like I've been thinking a lot about the Rebellion developed PS3 game Aliens versus Predator recently. I don't know if you have. When's the last time you played that?
I actually bought it on sale last week.
Really?
Last week? Yeah, on really? Xbox. It was on sale for $4 and I bought it.
Everyone go grab it.
Yeah, it's a deal. The sale might be over. You don't necessarily need to buy it. Anyway.
Have you ever played it, Josh?
No.
Okay.
Never really thought about it either.
Huh. Well, we should come back to that later at some point, perhaps. I don't know. But one thing I want to talk about is there's been some sort of rumblings about a PS4. You want to just hold, what are you giggling about over there?
Nothing.
No?
I think it's just a really, that game just sounds funny to me. Alien versus Predator.
It's Aliens versus Predator.
Oh, Aliens.
Wait,
yeah. It's not funny anymore.
It's a singular Predator. It's not numerous Predators versus a bunch of aliens.
And some Marines as well.
I can explain the etymology. Etymology is bugs, right?
Yeah. Etymology.
There's bugs in there too. They're the xenomorphs. Anyway.
Okay. It's the various races of aliens. Like, is Alf like.
Well, the Predator
well
is technically
predator,
an alien.
Or?
It's. Okay.
People must hate me being on this show.
It's a civil war of aliens, is what you're saying. So why isn't it just called aliens versus aliens?
I don't think it's civil, because that would require them to all be sort of under the same government and then to want to overthrow. I don't think it's civil. It's just a regular war.
Yeah.
Whoever wins, we lose. That's right. Paul W.S. Anderson's Alien versus Predator in theaters 2006 or whenever. I don't know. Anyway, what's in your hat?
What?
Is there anything in your hat?
It's my head. I'm wearing a hat.
Okay. Well, I think we're done talking about Aliens versus Predator for now. Anyway.
Akeem said it looked good.
I think it looks great. Anyway, okay. So there has been some murmuring, some rumbling, some sort of general internet buzz about the prospect of a PlayStation 5 Pro, which isn't the most far-fetched thing in the world, because in the timeline of the PS4's launch and the PS4 Pro's launch, that was about a little less than 3 years between the two of them. It doesn't seem like it in hindsight. It seems like it was a bigger stretch there. But we are, 2 years and change into the PS5's life cycle. And it wouldn't be completely unheard of to get a new upgraded, up-resed, whatever version. But I'm kind of wondering, do people even want that? Let's go around. Josh, would you be interested in a...
I mean, right now, like, I've played maybe 6 games on my PS5. And I feel like I need to get a little more mileage out of it before I upgrade to a Pro. And I remember even when the PS4 Pro was announced, I felt exactly the same way. And like all the extra specs they added to it, I was like, to me, this is not worth getting a brand new console for. And like as of now, like the PS5 base is enough for me.
Okay. Simon, what about you?
I think I'm in a similar boat. Like they've barely been able to make enough of the base ones for people to buy them. So, you know, a new one would be a bold move at this point, I think. I don't know, like, there's nothing... I don't feel like I've reached anywhere near the limit of what this base PS5 can do, to be honest, at this point. Like, the only problem I really have with it is, a larger disk drive would probably be better. Like, I do have to delete games, especially, like, we're going to talk about a bit, the Diablo
Hard drive,
Beta.
Not disk drive, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I thought you meant, like, you want, like,
yeah,
a bigger
I want
one to put...
massive disks.
Yeah. Laser disk support.
Like vinyl.
Just a whole 12-inch, just put it in there. Yeah. Rip some flack audio from a vinyl record. Why not?
But yeah, I'm having to delete games like all the time. Like I just I installed the Diablo beta, which we'll talk about a bit in a bit. That's 85 gigabytes just for the beta. Like, and I'm going to say beta the whole time.
That's fine. You can do that.
But yeah, and the only other thing is the controller battery. Like, that's a controller thing, not...
So...
Or is it not?
The PS4 Pro did have an upgraded controller.
Okay.
It wasn't a huge change, and I don't even know if the battery was affected that much, but it had a different light bar. Like, instead of being on the very front, it was sort of along the top of the touchpad. But, which we kind of forget about.
I'm lucky enough to have the, is it the Edge, the Pro, the controller. And that has an even, I think that has less of a battery life than the main one. So, yeah, battery life and a bigger disk drive. But is that enough for me to spend, what, another $500-$600? No.
Exactly, yeah. Akeem, what about you?
Well, I'll tell you right now, I don't think anyone really needs a PS5 Pro. And but I think what people are neglecting to realize is why we even got like a PS4 Pro. I think they're forgetting why we actually received it. 4K televisions, the consumer grade 4K televisions came onto the market like late 2012, early 2023. The PS4 came out in 2012, 2013. Then the PS4 came out November of 2013. So at that point, and that was only 10K, or not 10K, that was 1080p. So they were already behind in technology. You know, we already had these 4K televisions that were out on the market in 2013. So that's the reason why they started working on the PS4 Pro, which came out in 2016. So, but I see why people are thinking that we, you know, we might get a PS5 Pro or something like that, because there's, you know, like it's a similar timeline as to, you know, how long the PS5, the base model has been out. But the PS5 can go up to 8K resolution, and there's no 8K, there's no consumer grade 8K televisions that are out right now. Enthusiasts probably have 8K televisions, but they're not just readily accessible. So I, and that's the highest, you know, a television you can get on the market if you're insane. I don't know why you need ever need like an 8K television, but
you want to see pores. You want to see more pores. You want to see
completely different.
That too. There are one. Yeah, you can't have one without.
I want to see
other,
hardcore pores.
Just I want to watch Talladega Nights at 8K. I want to see John C. Reilly's nose real up close. I want to see all the details in there.
Yeah.
No, I mean, Akeem, you raise a very good point. Is like it's sort of what you get out of an upgraded model has a lot to do with what is actually. What you're hooking it up to, what's expected of it. And like the PS4 Pro, the big selling points, like you said, were 4K and HDR support. And I think a bunch of games had sort of, you know, a performance mode where if you weren't necessarily playing in 4K, you could have higher frame rate. PS5 does all that stuff out of the box. And again, until we get 8K TVs, which it supports, there's not really, I don't even know what you'd do short of having a bigger hard drive, which the PS4 Pro did have. In fact, it was kind of a weird shock when I traded my PS4 Pro for a PS5. I like lost disk space, you know, like there's actually like a one terabyte.
Oh wow.
Yeah. It's a step down, but it's a faster hard drive. You know,
the one I'd actually prefer is just a slim version. Cause I'm not, you know, I don't think the PS5 is as ugly as a lot of people do. I don't see it a lot of time. It's hidden away. But like if it was half the size, that would be nice.
That's kind of what I'm thinking of, too. Well, and it's funny go ahead.
But I was going to say the thing is that a lot of people neglect this fact, though. The PS4 Pro is bigger than the PS4. So if you think we're going to get a smaller, like if we're getting a PS5 Pro, it's probably going to be a chunky boy. An even more chunky boy.
Okay, so, but I mean, you're right.
I don't know. We're not going to make it smaller. Yeah, like I have a PS4 Pro right now.
Let's dream.
I want it to be more powerful, and I want it to be smaller, and I want it to be cheaper too. I want it to be a $200 more power. A girl can dream.
Yeah.
No, I mean, so that is an interesting thing to bring up, because up until the PS4 Pro, Sony would do sort of like mid-gen, you know, redesigns or whatever, PlayStations. And we got like there was the wonderful little like PS1, the little tiny one. There was the PS2 Slim, which is, again, really impressive how small that got. Yeah. And then the PS3 had two versions of those. There was the one that took it substantially smaller, which actually removed features that made it so that it wasn't backwards compatible. Which was, you know, a headache for some people. And then there was the really weird one that was like, it went from, there was the one that looked like a little, you know, I mean, they all kind of look like a George Foreman grill, but there was the one that had like a weird sliding thing on top, which is the sort of third, you know, late gen iteration. And alongside the PS4 Pro, we got the PS4 Slim, which is again, like a cute little thing, not, you know, substantially smaller, but I mean, I would be into a smaller smaller PS5, regular one, you know? I think a Pro is cool, but again, like, what's it even going to do? Like, what could it improve on?
Do you want me to just come up with something ridiculous on the spot?
You can do that.
Toaster.
Toaster.
Toaster. Yeah. I would say game assist. Like, just play the game for me, you know? Mm-hmm. Sometimes my thumbs get... Yeah, well, I don't know about that.
That's the problem with it. The PS5, it keeps things too cool. There's too much cooling.
Yeah.
I think they should make it smaller and hotter so it can cook stuff and keep us warm. That's what we need.
Yeah.
If it burns the house down, so be it.
I'm turning on a space heater, and like, I live in a first floor like thing, and it's a thing. I wouldn't call it an apartment.
Okay.
It's a thing. And I'm always booting up a space heater anyway. I'm barely turning on the PS5. So if the PS5 could give off some better heat, I would honestly.
How's your humidity situation? Is that good?
Terrible. Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe you
really
need
dry.
Next PS5 can have a humidifier in it.
Ooh, I'd be down for that.
Sure. Yeah. Hot, wet gaming. Here we come. That's what we need.
Yeah. So those pulls.
So to pull us back a little bit on track. You know, as much as I want to talk about moisture. There was a patent filed by Sony back in 2019 for a removable SSD, which looked actually fittingly a lot like a memory card from, you know, the olden days. And it was, I think a lot of people were speculating that we were going to see a similar feature like the Series X had with a little Seagate drive that you can pop in and out, which is, again, that proprietary, dedicated type of memory, which actually is just like making your hard drive bigger. Whereas I think if you put in, you know, an unsupported hard drive, it's just storage. It's not necessarily going to have the same power as the dedicated hard drive. But I think that could be a feature they add. You know, maybe they do a mid-gen model that is redesigned, overhauled in some capacity, and it doesn't change the stats too much, doesn't do any major increase in power, but it does have the option to increase storage. I think that would be kind of nice. Then again, it's also Sony, which has just a hilarious track record for making brand new forms of memory, which are way too expensive. I'm looking angrily at you, the PlayStation Vita, and your little memory cards, which were way too much money and hard to find. And now I think those things actually cost more than a Vita itself. So that's a thing.
Yeah, but I think, I don't know. I feel like, you know, if we're getting, like, let's say a PS5 Pro, we're definitely going to need more than just storage space. You know, like, I want to know what else they can possibly offer me outside of just increase storage space, because for me that's not enough for me to upgrade. Like I crack my bad boy open, I put in a different whatever in that thing. I forget what it is that I put in there. I forget which one, if it's I'm looking at it right over
there. Hard drive.
But anyways, I put in a different hard drive. Yes, I was trying to grab the actual name, but the box is way too far. But yes, I put in a hard drive. You don't need to know the name of it, but it's in there. So I increased it to 1 terabyte. But I don't feel like I need more storage if I'm, you know, I need more than storage if I'm gonna, like, you know, upgrade to like a PS5 Pro. So what else could there be, you know, outside of that? I get that they made that patent. That's awesome. That's cool. But what else are you gonna give me, Sony?
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, maybe more USB ports for, you know, PSVR support if you want to charge a bunch of controllers at once. Again, I don't know.
Yeah. That could be it. Yeah, they did that with the PS4, PS4 Pro. So they added an extra USB 3.0 port. But again, I need more.
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, the weird thing here is that with this generation, there was such a shortage in the beginning that it's like it's off to a late start. And it wouldn't surprise me if again, we might get a PS5 Pro at some point. We might not get one 3 years in. It might be further down the road than that, which again would stretch out the console generation probably to an annoying degree. But I don't know.
If they offered a PS5 Slim with a better controller, I'd immediately trade my current one in.
Yeah,
I think that's the only way I would change out my PS5 right now, is if it was smaller and the controller was better. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm struggling to find any reason, to be honest. I'm happy with mine.
Yeah.
There we go. I'm really boring, but
you just like
don't need luxuries in life, really.
Size of a boogie board, just a big.
I don't know. I was trying to think of anything else they could do with it, and everything else is kind of an impossible thing they could do with it. It's like make it portable, like the Switch. Impossible, really.
Yeah.
Unless they have some sort of Steam Deck.
I want
attachment.
I want a PS4 Pocket.
Yeah.
I want the Sega Nomad approach.
You want
the four? No, just a PS. I want the PS4. It plays all the PS4 games. You do it digitally. Yeah. Take it on the go. It's the size of a PS4, but it has handles on the sides and a screen in the front.
So you want PlayStation to move backwards? You don't want them to move forward in technology?
I think in order to move forward to the future, we must look back to the past yeah. and turn around and go back to the future again. And, in the,
unless
in the four.
They wanted to explore cloud gaming as well, and this is like a PS5 yeah. cloud.
I mean, I wonder if it's a sort of a weird waiting game at this point, yeah. because cloud gaming is the direction things are going.
Yeah.
We already have, I mean, we have consoles that don't have disk drives. There's no way of buying a game in a store and putting it into these things, that, which is kind of a novel concept compared to how gaming was for forever. Yeah. And at some point, it's going to be even more detached than that. It's going to be just sort of like, oh, this, it's going to be a like a Roku TV or an Apple TV, but a...
Or a Google Stadia.
A what now?
Sorry, I think I... Am I allowed to cuss? Google Stadia?
We don't use that language around here. I think you're also just supposed to call it a Stadia, but I guess I don't need to worry about getting scolded by their PR people for using the wrong terminology, because they doesn't exist anymore. I do the sort of monthly, here are the games coming out this month thing, and I just like in... I want to say it was like September of last year. I was just dunking on the fact that the only Google Stadia games coming out were like a Paw Patrol kart racer. And I don't even remember what the other one was. It was like Saints Row and a Paw Patrol game or something. And I was like, that's all the games coming to Stadia this month. And a bunch of people in the comments were like, there are dozens of us. And then the next month they were like, we're killing Stadia. And I was like, I'm sorry that Paw Patrol game didn't perform, guys.
Maybe the PS5 cloud's a while away then.
I think. But what about the Pro Cloud 5? Is that all right?
I mean, is that a bad idea though? Google obviously, you know, that was a terrible idea, Stadia, but like cloud gaming, let's say like I can't afford, you know, a PS5. What if like PlayStation had like some sort of cloud based service for certain games, like maybe some of their, you know, exclusives? I know that they'd have to like kind of limit it to certain games, because you don't want to kind of like make everything available on cloud gaming, whatever PlayStation cloud gaming might be, because at a discounted rate. But I don't know. Isn't there like, we just need a company that can do it right. Or am I wrong here?
Yeah, I mean, that's the direction things are going. And that, like, the Microsoft's xCloud thing, I think works really well. I think they're also very good about sort of communicating what it is and how it works, and being pretty good about not just being like, any game probably works on cloud. They're like, select ones work. Some of them we haven't even tried.
Yeah.
And I mean, we had PlayStation Now for ages. Like, there has been Sony's kind of dabbling in streaming, you know, cloud-based stuff, and now we have it sort of baked into there's that Paw Patrol game. If you're watching the video, you can see the Paw Patrol, those police dogs are at it again. That's our tax dollars at work, given those little,
quite good.
When it comes to cloud gaming though, I think it takes more than just who's doing it, right? Like, it needs to have the library, and it also needs to be low latency. And I feel like Stadia honestly had both of those things. Like, the latency was pretty unnoticeable, and like, they had AAA titles and they still couldn't make it work. So I don't know how PlayStation could even.
They did. I mean, they had the titles, but they didn't. Google isn't really known for gaming. Like, that's not right. And everyone has a Google account, but as far as wanting to throw down $60 to virtually own a pretend game.
My parents don't know. If I asked them what Google Stadia is, they wouldn't be able to tell me. They know what a PlayStation is. They know what an Xbox is. You know?
I think counterpoint, if it was like, you can pay $10 a month and your smart TV has a dedicated app, go out to the store, pick up a controller, pair it with your TV, and you're playing Last of Us Part 3.
Right.
Or whatever. And that's, you know, maybe you pay extra for that. But I think I think the Apple Arcade model is very much, you know,
They also did just release a VR console, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. So maybe, you know, they're just having a little break from hardware. They're just having a little, you know, maybe they want to get people to buy that, because that came out and I haven't really heard many people speak about it for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Let's talk about that.
Talk about it.
Let's talk about that PlayStation VR. But also, if anyone wants to make their voice heard about the PlayStation Pro or the Slim or the whatever, just head over to IGN, because we have a poll up, and I'm sure a bunch of angry little ex-boys are going to go in there and they're going to say, I don't want any PlayStations, and they're going to push the button really hard. So we got to get out there and rock the vote. I'm just kidding. I don't really care what the poll results say. But yeah, let's talk about the Dark Pictures. Akeem, what's it called?
Switchback.
Yeah, you got it's the Dark Pictures Switchback VR. It's an on the rails survival horror shooter on PSVR2. It reminds me of, like, if you've ever played that Jurassic Park game, you know, in the arcades, or Time Crisis or House of the Dead. It's kind of similar to that. It's a run and gun, fast paced survival horror game. And the selling point for this particular game is that, you know, when you blink. In some cases, it didn't always work for me. In some cases, more enemies might appear in front of you. And I would say fans of the Dark Pictures anthology, they'll probably appreciate this game a lot. You know, it has certain enemies from games like Man of Medan and other Dark Pictures games. That's the first one that came to my mind. Anyways, similar to some of the Dark Pictures games, this kind of allows you to make choices, but it's like severely watered down, in my opinion. Like, you can make a choice to go left on the tracks or go right on the tracks.
I mean, I appreciate that it is like literally on rails. They're not even pretending it's not on rails. You can see the rails very clearly. and this is Supermassive Games, who did oh my God,
Until Dawn.
Until Dawn. And then they did Until Dawn Rush of Blood, which is the VR version, which was much like this, where it was like, you're in a kooky carnival. It's a roller coaster full of spooks and surprises. Oh my goodness, a ghost clown or whatever. I didn't play that one. But I think it's interesting that they identified, like, VR has to be arcadey and goofy. Whereas the rest of their stuff is very, like, serious narrative horror. Like, they take a, you know, it's much more cinematic.
This is very much a game, whereas a lot of their other games are kind of trying to be playable movies, which I've spoken to those guys. They're openly like, that's what we want to make. And like, yeah, this is, like we said, it's aiming to be an arcade game. It's kind of like, I haven't tried it yet, but it's kind of like what I was talking about a few weeks ago of Horizon, which is, I want more VR games that, like, one of my negatives about that is that a lot of VR games are just like Disneyland rides in VR. And this is very much, you know, it's like the Buzz Lightyear shooter, but zombies, isn't it? Like,
yeah, they're Wii games, but your head is stuck inside the TV.
Yeah, it's fun enough, but it's like, again, this isn't the thing that's going to be like, this is why you need to play the VR 2, is it?
Absolutely, yeah. I honestly, like, this game is like 4 to 6 hours long. I was done after 30 minutes because it's good for what it is once you experience it, but I don't see myself ever returning to it. Like, you know, the first 10 minutes, it was really cool because, you know, you're going down. It's like a roller coaster. I don't know if you have motion sickness, if you're prone to that, you might not want to pick this game up because the roller coaster does kind of go fast at certain points. But yeah, when I think of VR, I don't know. This isn't the type of immersion that I want, honestly, for 4 to 6 hour long game, you know, like. If I'm picking up a horror game, I want something similar to like Resident Evil Village, which was super immersive. You know, you have to open up your coat to grab certain equipment, got to grab over your shoulder to grab your, you know, to get your gun. Like, I want something that's super immersive, and this is just like, it's an arcade game.
Well, I mean, we throw around the word arcade a lot for a specific type of gameplay, which is, it has its charm, it has its appeal, but at the sort of bottom line is arcade games were designed with a very different sort of turnaround time in mind. Like, you're not meant to play an arcade game for 10 hours.
Right.
Like, it's meant to get quarters out of you, which is, you know, it's great when a game manages to have that level of sort of, you know, shotgun blast of fun, but without ripping you off of your parents' laundry money.
Yeah. I do like the sound of the blinking mechanic. It's something I heard about before the game came out. I thought that could be very cool. Like, I don't know if this is the game it works perfectly in, but like something like PT, if like you close your eyes, you're scared to open them again because you don't know what's going to pop there. Like, I don't know if this does, like, is it more for like to surprise you with more enemies, or is it used for more of like a scare factor, Ricky?
So what I'll tell you, Simon, is I feel like it's a little bit off. It's a little bit wonky with this. So sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I was in a boss battle. I didn't know I was in a boss battle.
Okay.
I was in an empty room full of blood, and I'm blinking normally, and I'm wondering why nothing is happening. I'm just shooting at random objects and crates, and nothing's happening. I literally sat there for 3 minutes until I did a very
blinking.
I did a long blink. I closed my eyes and I opened it. Then the enemy appeared in front of me. So it doesn't work in most cases, unfortunately. I think it still has a long way to go.
Your eyelids are just too quick for the game.
Ooh,
quick. It's normal blinking. I don't know what type of blinking they want, you know?
Yeah.
So, serious question. Did you have your glasses on when you were doing that?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't. That's interesting. I played this. A report came out earlier today that people were having technical issues with like certain like moments were blurry. And yes, this game, it does suffer from some blurry features. I don't know what's going on there, but you know, they released a statement on their Twitter account saying that they're going to work on those technical issues. And if you have any, just report it to their customer support service if you're having any technical issues. So I don't know. This game just isn't it for me.
Yeah,
so.
I feel like with a lot of VR games, it's always so focused on like action gameplay. And I don't know, the way you guys talked about the studio, like they do more kind of playable movie mm-hmm. kind of stuff.
Yeah.
What if like, have you guys seen VR games that do that, where they kind of immerse you in a very strong narrative and you're kind of exploring, like if they made a playable, like Goodfellas, like,
oh my goodness,
sick. Like it's not
part of the film, just like sniffing coke off of
exactly,
a
or like watching somebody like slice some garlic, you know, like yeah. you can kind of pick your own camera angles and live out these narratives and like yeah. make choices.
I mean, even
pretty into
something
that.
Probably more appropriate would just be like Until Dawn VR, but like you're hiding under the table and then you have to make the choice. Am I going like what?
Right, you know, like you're not.
They
actually,
can do. We know they yeah. can do that well.
Yeah,
do absolutely. That. Yeah.
It's totally possible for that. I mean, like Resident Evil Village, Half-Life Alyx. Mm-hmm. Like, if we're talking about like games that have strong narratives, it's just that to Max's point earlier, like this game was meant to just it was a quick game that they wanted to get out. So it probably didn't take them years to make maybe a year or so mm-hmm. to make this particular game. So this wasn't a game that was like they took their time to actually make. I'm not nothing against the.
Yeah,
I'm just
and we're showing some gameplay here from Blood and Truth, which I love. So that was good. Such a fun game. And that
very
was
London, if you like London.
Is that what London's like?
Oh yeah, I'm doing that all the time. I'm always skidding my Ferrari.
When you're in a convertible, is it common to take the cigarette lighter and just throw it out the window?
Yeah, I mean,
like that.
Well, I had to leave. Obviously, had to leave all my guns behind me before getting on the plane. But I'm just all the time, mm-hmm. just like yeah, on cranes, flying around, shooting things.
It's I mean, that game was a perfect example of like really managing to have something that was action packed and, for lack of a better word, like arcadey, but it was also very cinematic. It was very story driven, which was cool. And I mean, I'd love to see Supermassive do something that kind of splits the difference between a literal roller coaster ride and, you know, Hayden Panettiere versus the Wendigo or whatever, like that. Somewhere in the middle there.
Yeah.
Maybe get the Wendigo in there and a roller coaster, but you're not stuck on the roller coaster the whole time. Just spitballing here, just throwing out some ideas. One thing I do want to say, and I think this would be really cool. We've seen those like arcade, not arcade collections. I guess arcade collections too. There was a Sega collection of like classic games that came out a couple years ago, and it had a virtual like living room where you could like pick the boxes off the shelf and you could pop them in your Genesis and like at that point it would sort of take up the full screen. But it was this sort of manifestation of like the physical space in addition to emulation, which is like a nice level of kind of,
it's a house you could never afford to live
yeah,
in.
Yeah, and it was cute. And I would love to see a VR version of that with light gun games. Mm-hmm. Like I think having a virtual arcade where you can go and like walk around the actual cabinet, look at the side art, and throw in Time Crisis and maybe even throw some like driving games where you have like a little wheel in front of you. But there's that there's a novelty to seeing something like that in VR, which would be really, you could even have little quarters.
You could theme it, make it like The Last of Us arcade room. You could be in the mall in that arcade
yeah.
with all the games
yeah.
in it. Like, surely really people cool. would want to I'd try that.
Yeah, it'd be yeah. cool as hell. I don't know
easy
how much
money.
Of a pain in the ass that is, but to port over a bunch of light gun games and have your VR controllers do that instead of having to buy like a weird peripheral move controller. I guess they are kind of move controllers, but mm-hmm. yeah. Anyway, yeah. So moving on, there's a game that's on PlayStation Plus, which is Chia, which I played a bunch of hours of, and it's a really sweet game. It is I think a love letter to New Caledonia, which is a small island country in the South Pacific, kind of little bit east of Australia, and it's cool because all of it's is made from local devs, and it's all local talent. It has the local language audio track and also some French. From a glance, this is very much like a Breath of the Wild like, and it has some Zelda DNA. You do a lot of sort of sailing around, which is kind of Wind Waker esque. You have a ukulele that you can use to sort of change the time of day. The cool thing though is you can do this thing called soul jumping, where you basically it's like in GTA, but instead of cars, you're inside a bird. You
could
like
do
Mario,
that with the peyote.
Right? Yeah, it's Mario. Yeah, that would be the better comparison. Yeah, I mean, you basically possess objects around you, and it's really endearing. Where you can just turn into it's like anything. It's kind of like Prop Hunt, where you can just be like, I'm going to be a rock, and you turn into a rock, and you can just roll around or launch the rock in any direction. And I really appreciate how tactile the game is. Like, it's very much you can interact with pretty much everything around you. There's the climb everything mechanic from Breath of the Wild, which is neat. The whole island is just gorgeous. It's really fun to traverse it for the most part, but I feel like it is a little bit too big for how much stuff there is there. Mm-hmm. And it also does some interesting things in terms of like immersion, where it very much encourages you to sort of explore in the literal, you know, in-game sense, in the immersive sense, as opposed to like just getting from point A to point B with like waypoints and stuff like that. And you have a whole map. There's a whole map system. But the way that does navigation is you don't have a mini map, or you sort of have a mini map, but it doesn't show where you are. And if you want to find out where you are on a map, you have to find like a sort of, what do we call it? Like a signpost.
Like a landmark.
They do
contouring.
So they do the landmark thing like in Assassin's Creed. You basically go up on like a cliff and just yell, and then it shows you where there's like little points of interest around you. But it still doesn't show you exactly where you are. Whereas if you come by a signpost, you basically pin your location. And so when you pull up the map, it has Chia's last known location on the map there.
Oh,
so it forces you to actually pay attention to your surroundings, which I love. Like a while ago, I talked about how if you turn off the map and the HUD in The Witcher, it makes it way more interesting to like explore, and you actually have to pay attention to what's going on around you. And that's like it's like actually using a map in real life.
Right.
Like if you have a compass and you have a map and you're like, oh, there's a river here, there's a statue here. I see a statue, I see a river, I should go this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's handy. There is fast travel, but you have to like basically get around to and unlock a bunch of docks to make it happen. I would say if you're in a hurry to get to the next thing, this game is sort of a pain in the ass. But it's incredibly chill if you're just down to kind of poke around and like.
It looks really nice. This might be a weird way to describe it. It looks like a really wholesome Just Cause from what I've seen.
That's just that is spot on. That is very, very true.
I've been looking at this game for a while because I do think it just looks nice and relaxing. Sometimes, you know, after a long day, you just want something chill to do. Like, unlike, I'll mention it again, Diablo, not that. This is like the antithesis of Diablo. I think I'm going to check out, especially like you said, it's free on PlayStation Plus this month, isn't it? So
yeah, I really adore the traversal. Like it has a feeling to it where it's like, this is an indie game. This is clearly made by a small team. Mm. It is one of the most ambitious indie games of recent memory, like in terms of just how much stuff they put in this game. It's really, really impressive. Mm-hmm. And it still has like it's a little rough around the edges, but you're willing to forgive it. I was completely not interested in the story whatsoever. It's interesting because like for a game that clearly encourages immersion in the actual gameplay when you're actually exploring and wandering around the world, it does a lot to draw you in. And then it's extremely jarring where all of the cutscenes feel like completely happening separate from the gameplay itself.
Yeah.
I just saw it had a crane machine minigame, and I'm a sucker for any game that has a crane machine like minigame. I don't know, claw machine,
yeah,
whatever you guys call it here.
I haven't even gotten to that yet. It is forgiving in terms of wanting, if you're not feeling the gameplay or if you're not feeling the story, you have sort of the option to like, you know, you can skip cutscenes or you can, I think, skip gameplay segments. They do an interesting thing where there's a lot of music, which is lovely. It wasn't particularly to my taste, but it's like very sweet. Again, very, very chill game if you're after that sort of like, tropical getaway kind of vibe.
It's nice. It's nice to have like that sort of a game like that. Just like a nice relaxing game.
Yeah.
Because normally you'd see that sort of jungle and you'd think, where's the predator?
Yeah.
Where is he? Where's he looking?
That's a fair point.
He does turn up player. We don't know that.
Yeah. He could be anywhere. It does seem like a place the predator would go, but then he'd be like, there's not enough muscle men here. I'm going to go hunt muscle men elsewhere.
This is too easy. We'll come
back to the predator. We always go too deep on the predator.
The conversation always finds its way back to the predator, which is a good thing, I think.
Yeah.
Max, I did have one last question for you, though, about the game. So you said you weren't too interested in the story. Is it just like it's not that compelling, or what is it about?
I think it's rooted very much in New Caledonian folklore, and it does the thing where it opens and it's got, I think, kind of a story within a story vibe where there's like a lady sort of retelling a legend. And it just wasn't grabbing me. Like I've been very impatient with games talking to me lately, which is a weird gripe to have, but like, I think it's fully recognizing that thing where like there can be a story told through gameplay and there can be a story told in a sort of linear fashion baked within the gameplay. I've been playing Dead Space in little spurts here and there, and I wish these people would stop Skyping me. Like, I'm just trying to go shoot some stuff in the head, and these people are like calling me up and being like, hey, how's it going? What's up, Isaac?
That noise is one of the scariest in the game when they call in as well.
Yeah.
Can we have a nice little ringtone instead of a...
But it's like having a pop-up, you know? You're like, oh, just get out of the way. And it's like, I don't care if they're... Why does it have to be... Like, you don't take a FaceTime call while you're driving. That's deeply unsafe. If you're in like a thing full of necromorphs, get the hell out of here.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the game has... you know, it's got its own set of lore. I was sort of impatient, and I just wanted to get into the game itself. And it's very sweet. It's like I kind of just love the simplicity of just being a little kid exploring this island and running around. And it's extremely like kid friendly. It's very like nonviolent, which I appreciate a lot. There are these sort of like fabric demons that live on the island, and it's amazing to play a game like this. That
those are called bed bugs, by the way, Max. Fabric demons.
You get that diatomaceous earth, and they can get the hell out of there. I hate those things. Anyway, there's little floating fabric ghosts or whatever, and you find their little outposts, and then they're like, oh, you got to kill them all and then burn their pile of fabric to make them go away forever, which is rooted in local folklore. I was like, this is going to be interesting. I don't even know how to do combat. Like, I possessed an axe earlier and just jumped around. Like, I didn't really know how do you fight. And I think there is combat later on, but I basically haven't encountered it aside from that. What I did was I just possessed a gas can and then jumped into a campfire, and then it exploded and they all died. And then it, like, the little rag pile caught fire. And then it was like, you got a treasure chest. Congratulations. These guys are all, they're all taken care of. And I was like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Suicide bombing.
It's like, yeah, a little dark, but yeah. It reminds me so much of the, and this sounds like such a, the Boss Baby take, the guy who's only seen Boss Baby, like big Boss Baby vibes from this movie. Yeah. It reminds me of GTA, specifically when you could take peyote and turn into animals, which was one of my favorite things in the sort of the last gen port of that game. And I wish that it was more repeatable. Like, I think it's so funny that they were like, yeah, you just eat like a little piece of a cactus and you get to be a deer for 10 minutes. Except it wasn't, you couldn't just do it a bunch, which seemed like a huge oversight. And in this game, that's the whole...
You'd love Goat Simulator.
Yeah, it's fun, It's got. I wish there's more besides goats and giraffes and sheep,
What's wrong with goats?
You don't even get me started. They climb things. They eat tin cans. They make us. They scream. They faint. They do all kinds of stuff. But I like that there's all the animals for the most part have different like powers basically. And sometimes you're just like, I'm tired of Chia walking too slowly. I'm gonna be a deer, and the deer can just sprint and bound across.
Just be a bird the whole time, I think, and fly around.
You have a time limit, which is annoying. And it's actually sort of funny when your time as a bird runs out and you just turn into a kid and you're like in the middle of the sky.
We've all been there.
And you've got like limited stamina, so you're basically like, well, I guess I'm free falling until I get closer to these trees, and then you pop your little parachute, and then hopefully I guess you can sort of die, like if you just fully ragdoll midair, just hit the ground, it's like, oh, load screen.
It's a good job Predator's not in the game. He would kill you.
That would do a lot of murder. One thing they had that's really fun, it feels like it's very toyetic. Like it's very much like a fun, that's a game that's fun to like physically play. Like if you just want to treat it like a little playground, it's great. You can climb to the top of a tree and wiggle back and forth and basically use it as a catapult to launch yourself, which again, to your point, is like a family-friendly Just Cause.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of experimentation and like creative with the physics.
I'm gonna play.
Yeah. No, it's super neat. It seems like it's getting a pretty decent reception for the most part, like sevens and eights, and I think that's pretty fair. It's such a, like, you can tell that so much love was put into this game. Like it's very clearly was made by people who love they love their homeland, they love their culture, but they also love video games, and it's shockingly ambitious, and it's really neat to put a lot into this. Yeah. It's also, there's like musical bits where you play along.
Yeah.
And it's like a little mini game, but it's not really scored. It's just kind of like, have fun, play with it. And it's, you can also just skip it or just have it autoplay for you. It feels like it's very respectful of how you want to play the game.
Yeah.
Which is very nice. And it's funny because like the one really negative review that's on Metacritic is just, it's just like the bitterest man.
It seems a weird game to get angry about.
Yeah. The guy opens by being like, anyway, so, it reminds me of Breath of the Wild, which I wasn't personally a fan. And I was like, okay, all right, we're playing by prison rules here. You're just,
okay. That was good.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that Predator. Want to talk about the Predator?
The Predator?
The Predator.
Why are we talking about the Predator?
Well,
are we talking about Diablo, or have I mentioned Diablo?
Oh, we can talk about Diablo. Let's talk about Diablo. That's actually probably more pressing. We have, what are we doing? We got time. We got time to talk.
Diablo is probably one of the series more bloody than the Predator series.
Okay. If you're good, we can talk about Diablo, but we can talk about the Predator. Let's talk about Diablo first.
Okay. Has anyone else played any?
I played a little bit.
Okay.
Enough to be like, this is in fact Diablo.
It is more Diablo, isn't it? I played like two, maybe three hours before I had to fly, so my beta experience was cut short. But what class did you go with?
Rogue.
Okay. I normally go rogue or sorcerer. But for this, I was like, do you know what? I went barbarian. I want to get in there.
Exactly the opposite of me. That's my approach.
Okay. I thought I'd test out the barbarian, because it's like, I play quite a bit of Diablo 3. I've never played 1 or 2, but I know this is going back to the more of like the darker, like gothic style of 2. And I thought, do you know what? Barbarian, I want to get in close. I want to feel the blood on my hands. And that's what I did a lot. I was just swinging around axes. Like you said, it just feels like Diablo, and that's not a bad thing. Like, I'm just walking around holding an X, obliterating everything. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, I never really made the connection, and probably I'm really late on this. I played a lot of Vampire Survivors. That is just Diablo with less to do. Like, it's that same sort of satisfaction of kind of building an arsenal, holding in buttons, and hoping for the best.
Just watching piles of golden coins get sucked into your body.
I'm really enjoying it. And you know what? The thing that surprised me is Diablo 3, I played a lot of, it was mainly for like the loot hunt and just the fun of it and playing with friends. This one, I'm actually into the story, and I think like they're presenting it a lot better. I like how the cutscenes are merging with the gameplay more. And I'm in, like, already early on within the first half an hour, they do a fun little switcheroo that I didn't see coming. And I'm into it. Like, it's got a real good like sense of horror to it, and I'm liking that.
The atmosphere is everything I wanted it to be. I kind of played like a little bit, and I was like, yep, I'm in. Mm-hmm. I'm good. I loved Diablo 2 growing up. I wasn't like one of those players who stuck with it for a million years. Like, I have like the fond nostalgia for it, as opposed to like the sort of you know, recent refreshed memory. I played Diablo 3 at launch, which was not a good launch. And that game, I think that game fundamentally, like, it's obviously there's a lot of cool stuff in there. It works. I hate that it is such a colorful reinvention of that dark fantasy world. And I know a lot of people have that same feeling.
I like both.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's fine if that's what it's always been, but it felt like they gave it like a coat of WoW paint. And it also felt so much more sort of linear. And like, they've also gone back and added stuff and tweaked stuff. And I mean, I never played Diablo 3 on consoles, so like, I know that people, you know, speak high praises of that, and it's, they've added a bunch of new classes and stuff, and you know, it's like Diablo 3, I think at the end they righted its course.
Yeah.
But it still looked too much like Candy Crush for me, and I need blood. I need the scary skeletons.
Oh, there's a lot of blood.
Yeah. Part of me is like, video games are too dark, too violent, I don't know. But then it's like, Diablo needs to be metal as shit. You gotta have, like, this has gotta just be,
lean hard into it, if that's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah, no, this, you gotta be drawing pentagrams on the skill tree. It's just, it has to be, it's called Diablo. Like, I feel like that is just, it's in the name. I always forget, because I don't typically mess with Blizzard stuff too much, their cutscenes are just so stupidly good.
Yeah, the animation department is obscene.
I mean, like, when I was a kid, it was like, you get a cutscene, and you're like, oh, whoa, shut up, everybody, we gotta watch this. And it's like, you know, fast forward 30 years, and I'm like, God damn it, let me play the game, I'm tired of talking, I don't want this anymore. And like, I don't know, that opening Diablo cutscene came on, and I was like, good God, look at this. Like, holy, this is just, it is stunning. And And it feels good.
I think I'm in a similar boat to you. It's like, I played enough to know, I was always going to play this game when it came out anyway, but I played enough that I haven't actually, I should have researched this. I don't know if progress carries over. I assume it wouldn't, because they're going to make a lot of changes before then. But yeah, I'm not going to play Barbarian when I play the full game. I'm feeling a bit of necromancy in my bones. Maybe that's going to happen. But yeah, like I don't think there's many reasons, apart from the fact you couldn't get in the game for a long time. Apart from that, I don't really have many negatives about what this game is going to be.
Yeah. Right. Y'all two sold me on it. The first Diablo game I played was Diablo 2 Resurrected. It was actually with you, Max. Yeah. I don't know if you remember.
We did like a whole, sponsored live stream.
We did a Let's Play.
Yeah.
So it's on IGN somewhere. But yeah, I was like, all right, cool, Diablo, I'm in. But I haven't revisited it since Diablo 2 Resurrected. So I don't know, this game looks pretty damn good. And both of y'all sold me on it. So I'm definitely going to jump into this one.
I mean, it's weird because like a lot of people love, and you know, Diablo with a mouse and keyboard, and that's what I initially played it on. When we did that, Akeem, when we did that Let's Play, we were still on mouse and keyboard, right?
No, we had controllers.
Did we have controllers?
We had controllers. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't even register.
I am terrible at mouse and keyboard gaming. I can't do it. I just physically can't.
Yeah, I guess the fact that it didn't even register as being a different experience is like how well they kind of adapted.
I played the beta on PS5, and it was. Yeah, ran fine, played fine.
Yeah, I mean, I love that it's funny because it began as like sort of just this isometric, you know, rooted in sort of old school PC RPGs, and then they've gradually kind of turned it into Gauntlet,
yeah,
which is much more, you know, arcadey, video gamey.
Yeah. But
yeah, I'm
just watching it and kind of wishing I was playing it.
Yeah, right?
No, I mean, I have zero experience with Diablo, and so, I mean, I feel like the way you guys are talking about it, it's probably a good time
to love Blood as well, so get involved.
Yeah, full of it.
Yeah. Yeah, don't have to tell me.
Yeah, you ever wish you could just open doors by bleeding on them? I think that's a good way to go about stuff. Just really, just get that blood out there.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of blood,
yeah,
that's a weird one. I don't know if we want to do that. Speaking of the Predator, let's talk about the Predator a little bit. Josh, take off your hat. What's in there? What do you got in your hat?
I'm wearing a hat.
There's a thing in your hat.
You have had the PlayStation 3 game Aliens vs. Predator on your mind all day.
And it's under that hat.
It's not under the hat, guys.
This is a really weird way to go about this.
I'm just wearing a hat.
I thought we were going to reveal this within a minute, and now it's gone almost. Now it's gone almost an hour, and I thought this was meant to be a minute.
We've got it. For those of you listening at home, Josh clearly has a copy of Alien vs. Predator, the Rebellion game from PS3.
Imagine it's there.
2010.
Let's imagine it's there.
We're going to read a letter in there. There's a letter. There's like a weird. There's.
Don't read.
Can we have that? Should I go get another copy?
All right, everyone, close your eyes. Close your eyes. And we're going to see what's under. No, I'm going to reveal what's under the hat.
Okay.
All right. Just close your eyes.
It'd be amazing if it was a different game. This is the best magic trick I've ever seen.
Close your eyes. Okay. No one's closing their eyes.
For those of you listening at home on the audio version.
All right. Underneath my hat is a copy of Alien.
Yes, we know. We saw you put it there.
Yeah. Wow. What a surprise. It's
no
just
way.
Like, it's almost invisible as the Predator himself.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
So there's really no particular reason we're talking about this game except we have the running thing where you just always bring up the Predator.
I don't even know. Like,
it just comes out of the shadows.
I'm so sorry if you hate me.
I don't hate you as much as I hate that
I'm
Predator.
To the audience, not you. I know.
No, I mean, I deserve some hate as well.
Because we were quite fascinated. Saying this is the first time I've read a video game manual in probably 7 or 8 years, but there's like a letter from each, so you can play as the Marines, the Alien, or the Predator in this, but there's like a letter from, I didn't know we could write. I didn't know we could really.
They write, but it's mostly triangles.
It's in English, but it's like, we are old, my brother. Our race is few and scattered. Our ancestry is lost to myth. The humans are still children, creatures of desire and hubris. With no comprehension of the long hunt, still, they make good sport. Not helping his Predator case there.
Yeah, we always are like, no, to catch a Predator, and then the predator, different Predator, is not a big thing. And then the fact that he's like, these children are full of desire. Dude, no, not all right. That's a weird flex.
So yeah, I might just kind of put the Predator thing to bed now.
The Predator to Bedditor?
Yeah, well, let's not. Yeah.
You know, that's always how I envision the Predator talking. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just wanted to get that in there.
We did all that build up to the Predator.
Well, I mean, yeah, you guys were setting me up early, but I just really wanted to keep the viewers intrigued to see if there was anything under my hat.
It was very clearly
you're here. I hope you're happy.
Yeah. I mean, every time you come on, though, you've got to have a different game under the.
That's a good idea, actually.
Yeah. What's in your hat? We used to do what's in your pocket, which was, again, one of the worst ideas. Like, we really have the most half-baked.
And GameScoop does what? Like, 20 questions with the game? We can just
that's
do the exact same
game.
Thing.
Yeah, that's true.
We can just put it in the hat.
I think Damon should have a game. The game he's talking about under his hat.
Yeah. What's under
he
his
reveals
hat?
Reveals it. Like,
that's way better.
Under his hats. In the meantime, we do have a game here. We played this last time you were on, Cardi. We have VR Not Amused, where when we spin the wheel and we land on a game, which is historically not a VR game, but what if they were to make a VR game based on that game? But then it turned out to be a sort of disappointing, watered-down, simplified version of what makes that game appealing. You know, like all the VR games are to a certain degree. So let's, except for Skyrim, where they just were like, we don't care if you puke. You're the Dovahkiin in VR. Go nuts. We're going to take a spin. Who wants? You want to do it, Cardi?
I always give us a spin.
Yeah, give us a good spin.
Big money.
There's no money involved whatsoever.
Silent Hill.
How do you make Silent Hill a VR game that isn't what people want?
Are we all doing it? Is it just you?
I mean, isn't there like an element of taking photos in that game? Or is that, no, if that's Fatal Frame.
Fatal Frame.
Oh, man.
It's just going to be a game where you're lost in the mist and the fog and occasionally.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just white static. That's it.
Here's the thing. I've never even played Silent Hill, so I'm going to base this off what I know about Silent Hill.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hiking game, and it's just really quiet. And your goal is to get to the top.
Yep.
I respect. I mean, that's actually, everyone knows Silent Hill is like intense, scary, very scary.
Yeah.
But then what if it's like, it's actually a very chill experience of VR. It's super laid back. That's kind of like when FromSoft made a VR game. It's like, Deracine. And people are like, oh, I cannot wait to prepare to die a Cine or whatever. And then it was just like a game about fairies and solving puzzles. Yeah.
I'd be into that.
Yeah.
You know what? Like, you know what I said before about just like living out a movie will like live out like
what if
127 hours or something.
What if Silent Hill was nice? I think it's nice.
Yeah.
Cardi, what about you? Aside from adding the Predator in Silent Hill.
Oh, we're not spinning again. I have to do Silent Hill. I already did.
Okay, you can spin again. One more.
Yeah. Get a spin.
I've been wanting to do that for a long time. What is it?
Is it Aliens vs. Predator?
It's Heavy Rain.
Ooh.
Oh, wait. That's actually... Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
What would you do? Maybe a game where... I mean, we just take one scene, you do it over and over again. It's a game where you just have to chop off your own finger. And that's it. What's the most blood you can get in from a glass from one finger?
Okay.
That's the game.
All right. Sure.
Which finger has the most blood? Pick.
Which finger does have probably the thumb.
The blood is stored in the thumb.
Is it?
So no, I don't know.
Most blood come out of it or out from?
Where would you? I mean, you'd want to cut it near the base, because then you're getting a lot of the artery. Maybe you could get into the.
Right, this, yeah, the biggest base is the thumb.
So yeah, that's the Heavy Rain VR game. Is how much blood can you get from a finger?
So I've always said that I wish that those narrative games would squish them and they'd be shorter to play through, but there'd be way more ways to go about it. And then there's that game 12 minutes, which was 12 minutes long to play through. But then I didn't like that game, so I was like, no, I want it different. I'm a big baby. Make the game that I want to play.
Yeah.
I mean, a Heavy Rain game where you're stuck in like one scene, but it's got way more options would be kind of cool. All right, well, we got a minute left. We're gonna do speed run, Akeem.
There's a reason why we're not game
Kingdom
devs,
Hearts.
Because those
go.
Both sound Ooh. Terrible.
Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, Kingdom Hearts game. Well, I would say the game, if it's in VR, it'll be about me and my son Maxie, not you, Maxie, but my son, and we go around looking for various keys. Turns out the key's inside of everyone's heart, so we gotta find a scalpel and cut them right open. Gosh!
Anyway, that was Beyond. We did it. We did a whole episode. Thank you all for joining us. Cardi, thanks for hopping on. You're technically That's on fun. Vacation, and we're like, get in the office right now. We gotta talk about Predator. We
got fun on it.
Back in the hat.
All right, that's yours to keep. Good luck. You got to go find a PS3. Josh, Akeem, thank you for joining me. Red, thank you in the control room for organizing this. Thank you everyone who listened or watched. If you listened and were there for all the theater of the mind with what's in the hat, thank you for bearing with us. We'll be back next week to talk about another game that's coming out this Friday, and I can't wait. We'll see you then. Beyond.
We'll see you then, everybody. Beyond.
Beyond.
Wake me up inside.
Ooh.